In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I think it's very appropriate on the day of our annual parish meeting that we have this great exhortation from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and there be no divisions among you, and that you will be united in the same mind and same purpose. And if we bear that in mind, we'll have a nice short meeting. I don't think we have anything particularly contentious on the agenda this lunchtime, and I'm sure and I hope and I pray that our meeting will pass off without incident and in a spirit of brotherhood. But this epistle is a great reminder that very little has changed in 2,000 years in the history of Christendom, that churches, the church and churches themselves, are at the end of the day fallible human institutions, and they're made up of fallible human beings. We would wish it otherwise, and we need to keep working on it and getting better and better. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that we are people. The second thing that comes out of this reading from Paul is that Paul, too, was a fallible human being. Now, of course, Paul's letters have ended up bound between the covers of the Holy Bible, and we tend to read them in a reverential tone. And there's no getting away from the fact that Paul plays a very central role in the early history and the formation of Christianity. And as a result, we tend to think that Paul is somehow, and the other prophets and saints are somehow set apart from us. They're somehow superhuman. But Paul at the end of the day, and everyone else at the end of the day, is a fallible human being. And these letters are the product of a human hand. And this comes across really well in 1 Corinthians. After this wonderful opening exhortation for unity and agreement, we can hear Paul, if we reread the words, starting to get a little sarcastic. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? All he really needs to add here is a kind of, oh, come on, people, and we'd really get the tone. He's frustrated. And then he goes from frustration to outright petulance, where he says, well, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. And then he gets a little confused. Well, yeah, apart from Crispus and Gaius. And then there's this wonderful, it's in parentheses. Oh, yes, and I also baptized the house of Stephanus. And maybe I baptize some other people. Let's move on. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on Paul here, but I think it's good to remind ourselves that he was indeed human, as we are, and not something or somebody superhuman. And this is important because I think it's easy to think of ourselves of discipleship, of a life in Christ as being a two-track process. There's kind of discipleship with a capital D reserved for Paul and St. Francis and the other saints. And then there's discipleship with a little d, the slow lane, where we are. And there's an insurmountable barrier between the two. And I think that's important because in our calling, and we are called, if we think ourselves in the slow lane, we'll never step on the gas. So all we're asked to do is give it our best shot. Try to be disciples, try to be Christ-like, and know that we will be imperfect. as the early church was, as today's church is, as we all are. We're not called to be superhuman. We're called to go about our ordinary days as ordinary people in our ordinary lives with other ordinary people. But we're called to do it in an extraordinary way. Today's gospel reading actually has in it one of the early four disciples being recruited. Let's read that again, because it's interesting. And as you read it, think about what's in your mind as you read it. What are you picturing? As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left their boat, their father, and followed him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, I have a kind of movie going on in my head. The sun is shining, the water is sparkling, there are gentle waves lapping on the golden shores of Galilee, and there are these four fishermen that all look like they came straight out of central casting, mending their nets, and then Jesus appears down the strand, dressed head to toe in a glowing white robe, and says, "Follow me," and they drop everything and they leave. That's the way it's written. But is that really the way it happened? Because if it is the way it happened, we immediately see that and we say, I could never do that. I could never walk out on my father's fishing business. My family will starve. But what really happened? I think it probably was slightly different. First of all, we know that Jesus was in the town of Capernaum. And we know from archaeology and historical analysis that Capernaum was a small town. It's about maybe 1,000 people, 1,500 at the most. Jesus had come there and he had continued to preach. In fact, he seems to have stepped it up a notch because now he was going around saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is near." So in this small town of 1,500 people, it's very likely that these guys knew of Jesus. It's quite likely that they'd met him. They may have even talked to him. They may have even discussed what he was saying. They may have even discussed, well, maybe we should actually go and do what Jesus is telling us to do. So maybe in that moment when Jesus walks down the beach and says, "Come, follow me," they were open and they were prepared. They were ready to hear the call. Now that's something that we can relate to. Now even if that's not the case, let's focus on what happened next. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus not say? Jesus didn't say to them, "Follow me and I will make you princes of my kingdom." He didn't say, "Follow me and I will make you my apostles." He said something quite ordinary, for these were ordinary people. We know they're ordinary people because we hear the rest of their story as the gospel story unfolds. They argue. They're not perfect. They fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of them will betray Jesus. The others will run away. One of them will deny he even knows Jesus. They're definitely people like you and I, ordinary, fallible human beings, trying to do their best and sometimes spectacularly failing. So what did Jesus say to them? He said, follow me and I will make you fish for people. That's it. Go fish for people. Go spread the word. Go proclaim to all the good news of my salvation. It's not hard. It doesn't take superhuman powers. You are fishermen and you remain fishermen. It's a simple instruction and it doesn't really change. By the time we get to Matthew 28 and the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, it's the same thing. Go fish for people. And it's within the bounds of possibility that we can all do this. So at today's annual meeting, we're going to elect a new vestry, slate of vestry members. We're going to present a new budget for the year. We'll conduct some other business that's vital to the running of St. Francis. In effect, we're meeting to say, let's give St. Francis Parish another year. Let's continue to hear the call. Let's continue with this community together. Let's continue to do the work and the mission that we have. Let's continue to be God's hands and feet and voices. Let's continue to go fish for people. Let's strive, in the words of today's collect, to readily answer the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And let's do that not only in the spirit of Paul's message of unity and common mind and purpose, but in the knowledge that it doesn't take superhuman powers, that we can go out of this place today and live our ordinary lives amongst ordinary people and do extraordinary things and fish for people. And may God bless us all as we do that. Amen.